Welcome to the Am I Hunting Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening as always. So in this episode, we are going to go back to the Conservation News Desk and go over some news articles and updates for the month of April. Before we get into that, I do want to highlight there are still a few days left to get entered for the giveaway. Again, this giveaway will go on until the end of April, so you do have a couple days left to get entered. Again, the winner will be announced on May 1st. And as always, if you liked this episode, make sure you hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, share this show with your friends. And if you want more, head on over to mihuntingpodcast.com, where there's a full collection of all the episodes, as well as all the videos, blog. So you can make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. And also, if you want to support this show more directly, hit that Join Us button, become a member. Your membership supports this show directly. And for becoming a member, you get exclusive members-only content, discounts, and a special gift just for signing up. So, and before we get into these news articles as well, I do want to highlight that it is turkey season right now. I've already started to see quite a few social media posts with people that have successfully harvested their spring turkey. Mr. Calvin Dennis with the Scent Hunter Tracking, he actually just sent me a picture this morning of a really nice tom that he got. For myself, I'm going to be heading out for the third season for the month of May. I'm going to be taking my oldest daughter out with me as well. She's interested in trying her hand at turkey hunting as well. So we're going to be heading out. So hopefully we can fill a turkey tag for her. Again, she had her success with her very first deer hunt last year. So I think she's caught the hunting bug, that's for sure. All right, so let's get into these stories here. All right, so this first one is from mlive.com, published on April 8th. Rare gray wolf killed, not seen in southern Michigan for 100 years. How did it get here? So this paid pretty big news kind of across the state. So if you hadn't heard about it, at least if you're in Michigan, this was a pretty big thing, a wolf getting killed in southern Michigan. So Calhoun County, Michigan, what was the lone wolf doing in southern Michigan when it was killed in January? A hunter told state officials he thought the animal was a coyote when he shot it and killed it. But DNA testing later showed that the animal was federally endangered gray wolf. Experts are looking into how the wolf got to southern Michigan. It's not part of the known population area, according to Michigan DNR biologist and large carnivore specialist Brian Roll. They go on to say there are five things that they know to know about the gray wolf killed in southern Michigan. Unusual wolf killing. The wolf harvest was an unusual one because of the state's established population in the Upper Peninsula. Gray wolf had killed hundreds of miles away. Rolls did not have any record of sightings this far south in the Lower Peninsula, he said. Estimating it's been 100 years or more. Lone wolf found south of others. Lone wolf killed in southern Michigan does not suggest there's a population in the Lower Peninsula, he said. Goes on to say, we do not know of any animals in the Lower Peninsula anywhere, Rolls said. Based on current information, Roll said, based on current information, if they are there, they are in numbers so low, we can't detect them. So DNR is investigating the wolf incident. Killing a gray wolf or any endangered species could lead to state and or federal charges or citations. Roll declined to comment on the specifics of this case because under investigation by law enforcement division. Goes on to say a county prosecutor would make any decision about possible charges being issued on the case following an investigation by DNR Law Enforcement Division. Investigators will look into the hunter's licenses and other circumstances, he said. Now, the hunter was legal on a legal coyote hunt and accomplished by a guide. The DNR said the hunter reported the kill to officials and said he initially thought it was a large coyote. The wolf weighed 84 pounds. The DNR said while eastern coyotes usually weigh 25 to 40. So definitely over double the size of what a typical coyote would be. So that's kind of interesting, getting caught with that. But then they go on to say here, they bring up an interesting point about how easily it is to misjudge what you see out in the wilderness there. So they put on here, golden retrievers are not coyotes. Misidentification is common in reports to the DNR. Though the agency more often hears people shooting animals with cameras, not guns. Like the citizen reports alleged of cougars that turn out to be golden retrievers or other animals. DNR also feels calls for people who incorrectly believe coyotes are wolves were all said. So can't really blame the hunter there for, you know, making that mistake of shooting a wolf instead of a coyote. You know, it can certainly happen. And they kind of highlight that in this article here about, you know, misidentification. So interesting story. Not a lot of information in regards to kind of all the details on if there's, you know, is going to be any form of, you know, legal action taken against him or kind of, you know, if there's, you know, kind of what their final determination of this investigation as to kind of where this wolf came from. There is another article that came out just a few days ago that kind of gives a little bit more information, but really is kind of a, you know, just kind of doesn't really say much of anything else other than kind of what we already know. So this is from BridgeMichigan.com. So Southern Michigan dead wolf mystery deepens. Record suggests it was trapped. So I'm not going to get into all of this other article here. Basically, they acquired the kind of the reports from the DNR from through the Freedom of Information Act. So they go on kind of breaking down some of the details of the kind of what the DNR had reported on it. So let's get into it a little bit here. Indeed, the data shows photos of a hunter posing with a wolf carcass were taken in the area. According to accompanying incident report, videos taken that same night show the 84-pound animal carcass was limp, bleeding, signs of a fresh kill. So there's that. Law enforcement officials first acknowledged a criminal investigation to Bridge 2 weeks ago. At the time, wolf advocates and state biologists raised questions about how a wolf from the Northwoods ended up in southern Michigan. See, I do have raised a question about this. They're talking about from the Northwoods. They're making the assumption that it came from the UP. You know, it could have came from somewhere else. It doesn't necessarily have to come from the UP. Oh, and they go, and how both a hunter, a guide, and a taxidermist could mistake the honking animal for a coyote, which typically weighs about 40 pounds. Nancy Warren, a Michigan resident and executive director of the National Wolf Watch Coalition, said the new details do little to ally her. I'm still very skeptical, Warren said. Was it an old injury or a current injury? So the injury that she's talking about is that the wolf that was killed had a mark on its paw that would be consistent with that had been had its foot in a foot trap at one time. So a bit of a new some new information in regards to that wolf as to kind of what its circumstances was were and where that mark on its paw came from. Smartphone photos obtained by Bridge to put man posing with the freshly killed wolf in snow covered road. Location data accompanying the photos indicate they were taken in Fredonia Township, just south of Marshall, on the night of January 19th. In a separate investigation report authored on April 15th, the Department of Natural Resources law enforcement noted that videos from that same night show the wolf limbs were flexible and fresh blood was visible on the ground. So again, it's basically just highlighting that that wolf was freshly killed. It hadn't gone through rigor mortis yet. So it wasn't something that they killed, transported down to the area, and then, you know, posed with it. That wolf, you know, was recently killed in that area. Based on my training and experience, this is consistent with recent killed animals, wrote the officer, whose name was redacted in records provided to Bridge. Those records are consistent with the hunter's claim to have killed the wolf in southern Michigan, but it remains unclear how the animal arrived here and how it got the wound that a separate DNR officer described as a trap mark. Angie spokesperson and law enforcement officials did not respond to calls from Bridge late Thursday afternoon. So, and then they go through kind of what the records, kind of highlighting some of the records that were obtained. So ultimately, you know, the DNR did seize the animal once the DNA test came back indicating that it was a wolf. They didn't end up having it mounted to be able to preserve the hide. And both in this photo of the hide itself, as well as the taxidermied mount, you can clearly see that there is a mark on its paw. That, again, likely from a trap. But again, it doesn't indicate that the wolf was trapped and then they killed it that way. It could have had his, you know, stepped in a foot trap and then, you know, had pulled his foot out as well. So ultimately, again, it's kind of, you know, additional information, but it doesn't really answer any of the questions as to where the wolf came from and if there's going to be any, you know, prosecution for the killing of the wolf, as well as, you know, it doesn't even seem like the activity of the hunter in question and the guide are questionable. You know, yes, they made a mistake and, you know, misidentified the animal potentially, which I could see that they're probably going to get some form of slap on the wrist for that. But even, you know, in this article as well, you know, they wrote that, you know, there are people and lawmakers that are, you know, urging the DNR not to, you know, punish this hunter and this guide, you know, have, you know, basically killing an animal that shouldn't have been in the area. So interesting story. Again, I'm sure there'll be more to come from this. Again, it'll be interesting to see if there's any punishment handed down for the two individuals. But interesting story. And again, unfortunately, there's just really no answers, you know, outside of exactly how the wolf got in the area. So we'll probably be one of those things that we'll never really know or never really find out. So, but interesting nonetheless. All right, so this next one is from NBC Montana. The DPHH warns of illness linked to morel mushroom consumption. The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services is advising caution for morel mushroom consumption in Montana. They cite an outbreak from raw undercooked morels in Bozeman 2023 that affected 51 people, including 3 hospitalizations and 2 deaths. Officials say to avoid getting sick, make sure mushrooms are true morels. Choose dry and firm morels. Store morels at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or lower in a breathable package and cook mushrooms thoroughly. So they go on to talk about the morels and the popularity of them. So in spring of 2023, a foodborne outbreak occurred in Montana after a Bozeman restaurant served raw and undercooked morels. A total of 51 people with gastrointestinal symptoms were reported as part of the outbreak, including 3 hospitalizations and 2 deaths. Individuals became ill quickly after consumption, typically within an hour after restaurant meal. An investigation into the outbreak found that the consumption of morels in the restaurant was strongly associated with the GI symptoms. Consumption of raw morels is more strongly associated with illness than consumption of partially cooked morels, although even partially cooked morels were associated with illness. Mushrooms served as part of this outbreak were confirmed through testing to be they were species of true morels. Despite additional laboratory testing, the presence of specific toxins was not confirmed in morels samples. The toxins in morels were not categorized, and further research needs to be done to better understand morel toxicity. Outbreaks of the illness linked to consumption of morels seem to occur infrequently, but may occur more often than public health professionals or medical providers currently realize, because the symptoms may not be severe enough to cause individuals to seek care, or the illness may not be known to be associated with the morel consumption. And then they go over talking about the prevention steps, you would think be no-brainers. If you're planning to consume morels, regardless of whether they're foraged or cultivated, the following steps should be taken. Make sure the mushrooms you plan to consume are true morels. Choose morels that are dry and firm, and avoid those that are bruised or slimy. Store morels at 4 degrees or below in breathable packages such as a paper bag. Avoid using plastic for storage because plastic bags cause mushrooms to sweat, which promotes growth of bacteria and mold. Cook morels thoroughly. Cooking reduces toxin levels, present in mushrooms consuming raw or partially cooked morels may lead to varying degrees of gastrointestinal illness or even death. Not all that exciting of an article, but interesting that, you know, they are warning of morels, you know, basically making people sick, and that they did this one restaurant had an outbreak of, you know, a batch of morels that apparently made people sick. So this is the time of year for, you know, morel season, essentially. So do make sure that you are, you know, properly identifying the mushrooms and that you are doing the proper care to make sure that they are enjoyable and don't make you sick. All right. And now we are on to the final story. This is from NPR.org. Fish out of water story ends with 77,000 young salmon in the wrong water. So first, the good news. When a 53-foot fish water or tanker truck crashed and rolled upside down an embankment next to a creek in northeast Oregon, its driver suffered only minor injuries, and as the truck came to its rest, its tank settled downhill next to the water. The last detail of the crucial for the truck's cargo, some 102,000 spring Chinook smolts and young salmon had been raised in a hatchery. The truck overturned on a twisted road in Mears Looking Glass Creek, and 77,000 fish made it from the tanker into the creek's fresh, inviting water, according to Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. There's also some bad news. 25,000 smolts died, recovered from the tanker at the bank of the creek, and the fish that survived are now living in the wrong waterway. The fish had been raised at a Looking Glass hatchery to give the population boost of wild salmon in the Manha River, around 90 miles to the east. Smolts lost represented 20% of the total that would be released into the river, Oregon Fish and Wildlife said. Smolts, a term of young salmon old enough to transition from freshwater to salty ocean. It's been crisp freedom. The fishery managers expect to see 500 to 900 fewer adult fish returning in 2026 and 2027 due to the loss. The 77,000 fish that made it into the Looking Glass Creek will likely return there to produce approximately 350 to 700 adult. Both the Nemaha and Aranda are tributaries of the Snake River, which in turn feeds into the Columbia River and finally the ocean. The spring Chinook salmon are fairly listed as threatened species in the Snake River, including the fish important origin locations such as hydro programs, part to mitigate challenges of salmon population posed by hydropower projects, according to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. For decades, the Nez Perce tribe and the Confederated Tribes of the Metela Indian Reservation have been working to return salmon to Looking Glass Creek and other habitats in the area, looking to restore historic cycle of animal life and human tradition. So fortunately that the driver is okay. Again, unfortunately for the, you know, for the Department of Fish and Wildlife, you know, they lost several, you know, thousand fish that they had planned on, you know, getting into the river system. You know, it sounds like there's no big concern that the fact that these fish did make into, you know, this particular creek. It sounds like it still flows into the same areas. It is, again, part of the same tributary that flow into the Snake River. So, you know, not necessarily where they wanted the fish to go, but it sounds like it's not going to be a detriment or, you know, cause significant issue that those fish made into that particular body of water. All right, so that is it for these news stories. Again, not the most exciting this month, but some interesting stories nonetheless. Again, nothing really that, you know, the bull story is pretty interesting, but again, it's kind of a, like, nothing's really come of it, really. So, interesting news, but not really anything that's going to make a lot of changes to anything. So, again, do be careful when you're handling your mushrooms this spring. And then, again, good to read that the driver of this truck was okay and that they didn't lose all the fish. So, we'll see what happens with that. I'm sure there's several people that are disappointed about the fact that the fish didn't make it to their, you know, planned destination. But that is it for these stories. Again, if you go and make it out and do some turkey hunting this spring, you know, make sure that you are being safe, and good luck to you. And as a final reminder, again, make sure you get signed up for the giveaway. And if you are signed up already, make sure you tune in on May 1st for the announcement of the winner. And with that, as always, get out there, be safe, and have fun.